This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Monday, April 1st. I'm Julia Caulfield.
And I'm Gavin McGough.
In today's headlines, journalist sheds light on abuse in climbing community.
Telluride talks 5G, tourism, and housing.
New story walk to stroll down valley.
And a mountain weather forecast. But first, Norwood lost a member of its community this weekend. Late on Saturday evening, Marvin Paraday died at home surrounded by friends and family after a long battle with illness. Paraday was well known around Norwood for his guitar playing, his devotion to his church community, and his love of the outdoors. Paraday was 64 years old. He is survived by his siblings, John, Deborah, Mary, Ruth, Rosie, and Charlotte, and his mother, Betty.
Journalist Annette McGivney wasn't a climber when she started reporting on sexual assault within the climbing community.
At first I thought, well, I don't know. I'm not a climber, so this isn't a natural fit for me. But then I started looking into some of the court records and police reports.
McGivney says looking at those reports and records, she saw something that was familiar.
Women who are traumatized and not getting support. And that's because I grew up in a home where there was domestic violence. And my father was a good man in a lot of ways. He was a very wonderful doctor and community member, but he was also abusive to me and violently abusive. And I grew up feeling like no one believed me and that there was nothing I could do and that I was very unprotected. And so I was seeing echoes of that in what the women were saying in the police reports. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to step in and advocate for these women. And, you know, not that I jumped into it thinking, oh, absolutely, Charlie Barrett is guilty. But I thought, you know, this looks like a familiar scenario to me, and I'm going to investigate it and see if that's true.
This January, after a year plus of reporting, McGivney published an article in Outside Magazine about Charles Barrett, a prominent climber who was recently charged on three cases of aggravated sexual assault. McGivney characterizes Barrett as a serial predator, abusing multiple women for more than a decade.
And sort of the meat of the story came from not the documents itself, but connecting dots within the documents, like 200 different documents, and saying, hey, I recognize those initials. I think I saw them somewhere else. And that date, where does that date fit in? So it was like this huge kind of detective work of, you know, putting the puzzle pieces together to try and create a timeline of what was happening and how he was moving from one victim to the next, even as each victim didn't know about the previous or the future victims, but to try and put together that global perspective of what was going on.
Since the article was published, Barrett was found guilty. He is scheduled for sentencing in May with a maximum sentence of life in prison. This week, McGivney will be in Telluride, along with a survivor of Barrett, to discuss the article and how nature can be a place of healing and wellness. Most literally, McGivney says the story is about Barrett, the name he built for himself in the climbing industry, the assault he perpetrated, and the ways he got away with it for years because of his climbing prominence.
But more globally, it is about how did this happen? And in the, you know, is there something about the climbing culture that enabled this or something about our society more broadly that and the justice system that allows serial predators to get away with this?
McGivney notes while the climbing community isn't more vulnerable, it also isn't immune to sexual assault. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than half of women in the United States will experience sexual violence in their lifetimes. She adds she received pushback from some members of the climbing community, not wanting to paint the sport in a bad light. Others acknowledged having blind spots, given Barrett's stature in climbing.
I've seen that blind spot phenomenon. It's not just in climbing, it's in all parts of our society where, you know, it's easier to just maybe not look at it too closely so that we can get on with our lives.
With that said, she's seen a culture in climbing that may enable those blind spots to exist.
Social media is promoting this culture of hero worship in climbing. So I think that that makes it even easier for serial predators to be embedded, you know, if they're within that kind of celebrity population. And so I think people in the climbing community need to be especially sensitive to, you know, just because someone is doing awesome things in climbing and has like 10,000 followers and all that stuff on Instagram, it doesn't mean that they can't be a sexual predator as well.
As a journalist, McGivney says she's proud to have told the stories of the women and their experiences, noting journalism provides a space to start conversations.
People learning about it and becoming aware is the only way to keep it from happening. And our story was able to stitch together a pattern of behavior and broadcast it to the world in a way that if only the trial, you know, that had limited coverage and exposure could never have done.
Journalist Annette McGivney, alongside an assault survivor, will be at the Wilkinson Public Library on Tuesday, April 2nd at 5:30 p.m. for a discussion on her article and how outdoor communities can do better. The talk is a collaboration with the library, Telluride Mountain Club, and the San Miguel Resource Center. Telluride Town Council is meeting on Tuesday with 5G tourism and housing on the docket. This week on G is for Government, Council Member Geneva Chanette gives an update. Hey Geneva, thanks for joining for another installment of G is for Government.
Absolutely, last one of the season.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Telluride Town Council meets on Tuesday, and we're actually going to start talking about an item that is no longer on the agenda. What is happening?
Yeah, so the first item that we had on the agenda was a request by three members of the public to evaluate from an ethics perspective Dana Enright's ability to participate in one of the topics that we had on the agenda. And that topic is amending the Telluride Affordable Housing Guidelines for rental properties. The request came about because Dan does live in deed-restricted housing, rental housing in the town. So at first, when we received that request, we put that agenda item on. But then the members of the public clarified that they would want this process of review to go through the Ethics Commission process as opposed to just at council discussing this issue. So there has been an Ethics Commission meeting scheduled for April 29th. That will be the day before the 30th, which is when we have our next council meeting. And so we will go through that process and decide whether Dan can participate in this conversation or not. And then we will have that conversation about the housing guidelines on our April 30th meeting.
Got it. So with that not happening on Tuesday, the meeting will start with two work sessions in the morning. What are those?
Yeah, so the first one is going to be a work session with a company called Toro Blanco Group. They're going to be potentially working with the town to install 5G hardware for cell service. And because our community is a National Historic Landmark District, how those antennas look and fit in with our current design guidelines is really important. And then after that, we're going to get an update from the Telluride Tourism Board and the Colorado Flights Alliance with Kira Skinner from the Tourism Board and Matt Skinner from the Colorado Flights Alliance.
Then the afternoon is largely admin kind of items. There's going to be a discussion and potential vote on the Open Space Commission work plan for the year. And then there's going to be some information of interest for listeners maybe in Scott Robson's manager update. What's that going to be?
Yeah, so Scott is going to be updating us on the two public meetings we've had over the last couple weeks regarding the Chair 7 development program. So the town is working with Telsky to jointly plan through a public process, the area, including Carhenge, the base of Chair 7, and sort of what that development is going to look like. It seemed like a really good idea to work together since we're large pieces of land are owned by both of those organizations rather than planning them separately. So we had the first round of public meetings. There haven't been any plans drawn up yet, but we got feedback from the public about concerns and opportunities and everything in between for that area of town. And I look forward to hearing an update and when the next meetings, when maybe we will see some potential drawings would come. I also do want to attract attention. We have a public hearing at 1:15 where we will be potentially passing an ordinance about festival events and festival sizes in the park. So folks who are interested in that kind of topic can tune in at 1:15. And yeah, that's the interesting stuff that's happening at the meeting. There's more to it, but not everybody's into all the nitty gritty stuff.
Well, Geneva, thanks for coming by, chatting, and we'll see you in person on Zoom or on the airwaves on Tuesday.
Sounds great.
Let's take a quick stroll into recent history with Youth Services Manager at the Wilkinson Library, Gloria Tavira.
The library installed a temporary story walk in 2017, which was a really big success. And that prompted us to collaborate with the Telluride Town Park and Rec to install a permanent story walk, which now lives along the San Miguel River on the river trail.
Then last year, the library installed a second story walk in Mountain Village. The walks consist of permanent wooden boxes stretching along a path which display the story of a children's book from the library's collection. Each month, they're updated with a new illustrated tale. Youth librarian Melissa Friedman says the story walks become a vehicle for all sorts of programming.
With each installation, we've witnessed how the story walk serves as a gathering place for our community, schools, and community organizations. For example, at the height of the pandemic, we highlighted the story Fry Bread, which was written by a Native American author. And during that story walk event that we had, we brought in a Native American from the Navajo Nation to make fry bread to kind of present that at the end.
Friedman and Chavira spoke before the San Miguel County Open Space Commission last week to discuss a third story walk coming to our area, this one at the Down Valley Park. The library estimates the cost of the walk to be around $8,250, and the county doesn't have that to spare. It already set its budget for the year. But, says Friedman, the library can work to find the funds and possibly break ground this fall.
We would like to secure a grant and have it installed in the fall. If we can't secure a grant, we would try and work it into our 2025 budget.
The Wilkinson Library already runs a number of programs to connect with Down Valley residents, including pop-up book browsing events in the summertime. Another story walk further afield would build on that outreach. Open Space Commissioners and Parks staff are all in favor. Here's Commissioner Joanna Kainow.
I'm all in favor of it, having raised two kids in that park.
Depending on how quickly the county approval process and the library's funding search goes, the Down Valley Park could see a new story walk before the year's end.
Construction is moving right along at the Voodoo Affordable Housing Project across from the post office. Traffic in the area? Not so much. The town of Telluride and Shaw Construction have closed Willow Street from its intersection with Pacific up to the alley for the duration of the week. The Galloping Goose will now run on Pine Street, which will close parking on the street's east side to accommodate bus traffic. Additionally, town is asking folks to avoid parking on Spruce and Willow in order to make room for heavy machinery. The reason for the latest closure is a water and sewer hookup for a youth hangout, which will occupy the historic shed on the site. The changes began today, April 1st, and will run through Friday, the 5th. To review the latest information, visit bit.ly/TOTVoodoo.
A coalition of environmental groups filed a proposal last week for managing the Colorado River after current rules expire in 2026. As KUNC's Alex Hager reports, the proposal brings wildlife into the contentious discussion of how Western states should use the river's supply.
Authors of the proposal say they don't want it to go against states' desires. John Berggren with Western Resource Advocates says they want to help states craft water management plans that also help ecosystems throughout the Southwest.
Regardless of what is decided, if you integrate these ideas into those annual operations, you can have your water supply security, which the states want, but then you also get these environmental benefits that make sure that you do have a healthy flowing river.
Proposals from states, tribes, and environmental groups will be reviewed by the federal government. Officials hope to draft a consensus plan for managing the Colorado River before the end of this year. I'm Alex Hager.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for snow showers tonight, ending early, followed by gradual clearing with a low around 20 degrees. Tuesday will bring sun with a high near 40 degrees. Expect clear skies overnight and a low in the mid-20s. Wednesday brings sun and a high near 45, followed by a clear night with a low around 30. This has been the news for Monday, April 1st. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 970-728-3206.